Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. This is 2 Samuel chapter 16 and 23 verses, and this is fourth in this series of receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit. We also have two letters to read. We have hundreds and hundreds of letters, but only two are we able to read on each tape, time permitting. And right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to bless this tape, the message on this tape, to anoint everything, the reading of the word, any the translation, and the commentary, and any commentary that the Lord gives me. Anoint the reader, anoint the letters. Father God, that it may bring us closer to you, and closer to, on a continuous basis, closer to the death, to be bearing about the death of the cross of the Lord throughout every day, so that we can be also walking in the resurrected life of the Lord. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Let's begin with the letters. Now, where's the first letter from?
From El Paso, Texas.
All right.
It says, Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings from your brother, a believer in Christ Jesus. I found your newsletter on the sidewalk in front of my home. Truly, it was the hand of my Lord Jesus Christ. After I read it, I can see the truth in it. My eyes were opened to so many things in my life. My spirit jumped when I saw the truth. I must have your world newsletters, literature, your book, The Messiah, and tapes. Please send me a Bible. Thank you very much. May the Father and the Son bless you overflowing with their love through the Holy Spirit. Your brother with love, R.B. from El Paso, Texas.
Praise the Lord. Very nice letter. And then, where is this next one from?
From the Ivory Coast.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Dear Pastor Alamo, I greet you in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How could someone not recognize your ministry? I would be ungrateful if I did not. May our Lord Jesus bless and help you. I am a filled human being, for God is with me. Why? Was it not evident that I received teaching that came from a man that God has anointed? He is a servant of God who is far from me, but God allowed me to receive your newsletters, which have revealed my identity in Christ to me. Your newsletters have done me well. They have created a great spiritual thirst within me. Your newsletters have not only led certain members of my entourage to conversion, but some Christians have also realized that they need the real knowledge of our Lord Jesus. I have a brother in Christ who has shared his love with God and a sister, and praise God, may your ministry be blessed. The Spirit of God led me to him, and I gave him the newsletter Love and Affection. He has received his deliverance. All of my friends are asking me for the world newsletters, but I don't have any more. Pastor Alamo, I am writing to ask you to help me by sending me two French Bibles. I need them. I am also asking you to send me the world newsletters by Pastor Tony Alamo to study them with other brothers and sisters and with the new converts. I also want to tell you that by God's grace, I am directing three groups in-house churches. It is a blessing for me that Pastor Alamo is a man who God has blessed to bring these teachings to me. God bless your wife, your children, and your ministry. Thank you for writing to me for the reception of this letter through the email address, your brother in Christ, E.S., from the Ivory Coast.
Praise the Lord, and may God bless all the children of God in all his ministries throughout the world. Amen?
Amen.
Because anything that I have gotten from God, I have gotten from God, and therefore I can't take any credit, even though I am cooperating, my body and my spirit is cooperating with the Holy Spirit. It is the Lord that does the teaching. It's the Lord's Spirit. And that's why the Lord wants us to be mortified by the Spirit. He doesn't want us to do good, nor does he want us to do evil. He wants us to be dead. He wants everything to be done by his Spirit living in us. Now, being dead, that means dead to our own philosophies, our own ideas, our own opinions, and to just be pliable and agreeable and available to move whenever the Holy Spirit moves us to do whatever he wants us to do. So therefore, the work is not ours. We identify our church by our names. However, we are identified that the Lord is living in us, because the signs that the Lord said would follow those that are that believe in him would follow. And there's nothing that we can do apart from Christ. Everything, whether we write or if we lay hands on people and they recover, whether we preach the words that the Lord gives us to people that are blind, lame, halt, or that are possessed with demons, it's the finger of God, the Spirit of the Lord, that casts the devils out. All the glory goes to God. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I refuse, you know, when people keep saying, oh, this is wonderful. It is wonderful, but I'm not. The works, I do a lot of work for the Lord, but it's not me. It's the Lord in me. And the Lord can do the same thing with you if you just surrender yourself to him. And he can maybe even do a lot more through you than he's doing through me. The Lord will do what he will do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now let's start reading 2 Samuel chapter 16. And just pray that these tapes, when this man says, I want tapes, I've done thousands and thousands of tapes before. And I've done approximately 450 tapes so far on the Bible. And I've just begun. Well, I've done about 450 up to this point, but I'm still about 3-4 months ahead on the rest of the Bible. I'm in 2 Chronicles now. 1 Chronicles, okay. So, and I've done some of the tapes from the New Testament as well. So, you know, it'll be something, you know, for everybody to, for anyone to get all these tapes. I don't know whether you have enough room in your house to receive them all, but they all do have the wisdom of God in them. Okay, so, and life-giving and life-supporting power in them. All right, let's go.
Ziba being a false prophet, King James Version, verse 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. Verse 2. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. Verse 3. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Verse 4. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertain unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. Verse 6. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Verse 7. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. Verse 8. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man.
Okay, so, translation now.
Okay, verse 1 through 8. Ziba being a false servant. Now when David had passed a little beyond the summit, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of saddled donkeys, and on them were 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a jug of wine. Verse 2. The king said to Ziba, quote, "Why do you have these?" unquote. And Ziba said, quote, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for whoever is faint in the wilderness to drink." Unquote. Verse 3. Then the king said, quote, "And where is your master's son?" Unquote. And Ziba said to the king, quote, "Behold, he is staying in Jerusalem, for he said, 'Today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me.'" Unquote. Verse 4. So the king said to Ziba, quote, "Behold, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours." Unquote. And Ziba said, quote, "I prostrate myself. Let me find favor in your sight, O my lord, the king!" Exclamation mark, unquote. David is cursed. Verse 5. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out from there a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came out cursing continually as he came. Verse 6. He threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men were at his right hand and at his left. Verse 7. Thus Shimei said when he cursed, quote, get out, you man of bloodshed and worthless fellow!" Exclamation mark. Verse 8. "The Lord has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed!" Exclamation mark, unquote.
Okay, never mind.
King James Version, verse 9. Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." Verse 10. And the king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so?" Verse 11. And David
had an inferiority complex. It's impossible to have boldness when there's sin on your soul. Just impossible. Under ordinary circumstances, David would have done something, but he just let him stone us, let him say whatever they want, because God has allowed him to do this. And then what else?
Verse 11, and David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him."
Yes, David's saying, my own son is going to take my, wants to take my life. So, you know, I expect anybody. My own son is trying to do it. I expect that anybody might do it now. Because I took an innocent man's life, and I took his wife. And I'm cursed now. Cursed. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 12. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Verse 13. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hill's side over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. Verse 14. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there.
If David was able to slay Goliath, I'm sure he could have slain that man and all the Philistines that he had slain. He could easily take that man down. Okay, keep going.
Verse 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. Translation, verse 9 through 15. Then Abishai the son of Zeruiah said to the king, quote, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over now and cut off his head," unquote. Verse 10, but the king said, quote, "What have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah? If he curses, and if the Lord has told him, curse David, then who shall say, why have you done so?" Unquote. Verse 11, then David said to Abishai and to all his servants, quote, "Behold, my son, who came out from me, seeks my life. How much more now this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him." Verse 12.
The New Testament tells us, though, that we'll be persecuted, and people all say all manner of evil things about us. Amen?
Amen.
So that doesn't mean that we've done anything wrong. It says, if they hated me, Jesus said, who hasn't done anything wrong, they'll also hate you, who hasn't done anything wrong. Okay, they'll hate my servants. So the servant is not above their master. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day. Unquote. Verse 13. So David and his men went on the way, and Shimei went along on the hillside parallel with him, and as he went, he cursed and cast stones and threw dust at him. Verse 14. The king and all the people who were with him arrived weary, and he refreshed himself there. Absalom enters Jerusalem. Verse 15. Then Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, entered Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. King James Version, verse 16. And it came to pass, when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. Verse 17. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? Verse 18. And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. Verse 19. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in thy father's presence, so will I be in thy presence. Verse 20. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. Verse 21. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. Verse 22. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. And Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Verse 23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom.
According to the word of God, Absalom had sexual relationships with his own father, because those concubines were his own father's flesh. Amen?
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
Translation, verse 16 through 23. Now it came about when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, long live the king! Exclamation mark. Long live the king! Exclamation mark. Verse 17. Absalom said to Hushai, quote, is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend? Unquote. Verse 18. Then Hushai said to Absalom, quote, no! Exclamation mark. For whom the Lord, this people, and all the men of Israel have chosen, his I will be, and with him I will remain. Verse 19. Quote, besides, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in your father's presence, so I will be in your presence. Unquote. Verse 20. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, quote, give your advice. What shall we do? Unquote. Verse 21. Ahithophel said to Absalom, quote, go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house. Then all Israel will hear that you have made yourself odious to your father. The hands of all who are with you will also be strengthened. Verse 22. So they pitched a tent for Absalom in the roof, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Verse 23. The advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one inquired of the word of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel regarded by both David and Absalom.
All right. Now we have some commentary for chapter 16, 2 Samuel.
16, verse 3. Saul was Mephibosheth's grandfather. Most likely, Ziba was lying, hoping to receive a reward from David. See chapter 19, verse 24 through 30. For the story of Mephibosheth, see chapter 9. 16, verse 4. David believed Ziba's charge against Mephibosheth without checking into it or even being skeptical. Don't be hasty to accept someone's condemnation of another, especially...
Or false reports. You don't know if it's false unless you check it out. The Bible says to seek out diligently everything. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Don't be hasty to accept someone's condemnation of another, especially when the accuser may profit from the other's downfall. David should have been skeptical of Ziba's comments until he checked them out for himself. To do with Absalom. A father's mistakes are often reflected in the lives of his children. In Absalom, David saw a bitter replay and amplification of many of his own past sins. God had predicted that David's family would suffer because of his sin against Bathsheba and Uriah. David's heart was broken as he realized that God's predictions were coming true. God forgave David, but he did not cancel the consequences of his sin. David was horrified as he saw his son's strengths run wild without the controls God had built into his own life.
The control of the Holy Spirit. Right?
Right.
He had no discipline. He had not received the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what else?
By most casual evaluations, Absalom would have made an excellent king, and the people loved him.
Some people say, well, you said that there's no Holy Spirit in a person until the New Testament. Discipline, receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit simply means receiving the discipline of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is spirit and life. Amen?
Amen.
So we have the Holy Spirit with us in the Old Testament and in the New. All right? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So the Lord was not living inside them on a 24-hour basis, but they had the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so Absalom had not received the discipline of the Word, the discipline of the Holy Spirit. So anyone that says, we don't have the Holy Spirit, and so therefore we sin and we do all kinds, you have the Word of God, and you're doing that on yourself. It's your will to sin, to not receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit. All right, go ahead.
But he lacked the inner character and control needed in a good leader. His appearance, skill, and position did not make up for his lack of personal integrity.
Or his lack of discipline, of receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. But then what?
David's sins took him away from God, but repentance brought him back. In contrast, Absalom sinned and kept on sinning. Although he relied heavily on the advice of others, he was not wise enough to evaluate the counsel that he had received.
He had not. Yeah, the counsel that you're to have received is the Word of God. The Word of God tells you not to commit adultery, not to commit incest. Amen?
Amen.
None of these things. So the law of Moses had already been given, so David had the law. He had the Word. He knew not to do that, and his son knew better than to commit incest or to fornicate with his own father, as Ham did with Noah. Okay, there's a lot in the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Can you identify with Absalom? Do you find yourself on a fast track towards self-destruction? Absalom wasn't able to say, I was wrong, I need forgiveness. God offers forgiveness for those that have sinned unadvisedly or they were ignorant. But we will not experience that forgiveness until we genuinely admit our sins and confess them to God.
And nowadays, the Holy Spirit is living in us, and we have much more Bible than they did back there, much more truth, because the truth had not come until Christ. Grace and truth, or power and truth, came with Jesus. The law came with Moses, but a grace or power, the power of God, living in us and through us, and truth came with Jesus. So don't try to compare yourself with the Old Testament people, because they didn't have the truth. Amen?
Amen.
They didn't have the power. Grace and truth, power of God and truth, came with Jesus much later. And we're living by the power of God and the truth of God, which is Christ. Christ lives in us, and therefore there's no excuse for you to say, well, David did, or Absalom did. No, you must receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit. You have no excuse any longer. No one does. I have no excuse. You have no excuse. No one has any excuse, because we have the Lord. Apart from the Lord, you have nothing. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And so they couldn't do anything back then. Amen?
Amen.
They didn't have Christ. The Word, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Because all they had was the law. And from time to time, the Spirit of God would descend and minister to them or give them instructions through prophets, as he did David through Nathan and Samuel and others. But we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the power of God and the truth.
But we will not experience that forgiveness until we genuinely admit our sins and confess them to God and our faults one to another.
Right, but if we're like Absalom and you just go completely, what they say down south, hog wild, and you just want to live that way, well, the same thing and maybe worse will have happened to you than what happened to Absalom. He got caught in a tree and stabbed and killed and went to hell. Even though God cursed David for what he had done, the Lord states in his word that David did that. He was caught. He was not alert. He didn't have the power of God in him constantly, like it is available to us. Some people just don't care enough about their soul to keep their souls under the discipline of the Holy Spirit 24 hours a day. And so they're gambling with their soul. You know, it's hard to understand how people would gamble with their money. But it's like unbelievably hard to understand why a person would gamble with their soul. It's not even gambling. It's committing spiritual suicide to not walk in the Spirit every day. That's not gambling. That's suicide. Spiritual suicide. Where you say, well, it's that I'm still alive. Yes, but what happens when your body dies? What if your body dies like the Pope's body died today? Then what does the Pope do? The music teacher today says, I went over there and I said, well, the Pope died. And she said, yeah, I heard on the radio just before I came over here. She said, well, bless his soul. I said, you know, it's too bad that he wasn't born again of the Spirit, because he'll go out. He's gone out into eternity now, and you must be born again or else you go to hell. Well, she says, and maybe the Lord dealt with him just before he went out. And I said, no, that's impossible, because he blasphemed the Holy Spirit while he was alive, and there's no forgiveness for that here in this world or in the world to come. The man went right out into hell. And she says, when did he blaspheme the Holy Spirit? I said, so many different ways. I said, I really don't have to. You're teaching lessons here, and you're being paid for it, is what I'm thinking, you know, so I'm not going to sit here. I said, the Los Angeles Times states that he made all kinds of derogatory statements against the Bible, and he was pro, not truth, but he was for evolution. He was for, every cult on the face of the earth, and was totally against the Word of God. It was his doctrine through the government that caused the Word of God to be taken out of schools. And there are so many statements it would take an eternity to say everything that he had done, so, such as mixing cyanide gas for the Jews in the Auschwitz concentration camp for IG Farben that murdered 6 million Jews or more, and many others. And then he sold the gas to Auschwitz. And then when the war was over, he fled to Germany. Not to even mention the child molesting and homosexual activities that he had, molesting little boys in daycare centers that were in workshops. People, there were big factories in Krakow, Poland, where he's from, and when he was a priest, he used to go in and visit the children. The daycare centers, they say the Pope loved children. Yes, if you want to call that love, boy children. And he molested them when he was in there. And the people, it said, that they were throwing oily rags at him when he'd leave because the children were complaining about him molesting them. And it goes on and on. The man is, there's just too many things to tell about him. And the woman said, I never heard him say that the Bible was wrong to read. And I said, well, it says it right in the Los Angeles Times, the United Press International, the Associated Press. Well, I never read that. Well, you're not a well-read person then, okay? But you see, I have a staff that checks things like that all the time, and they bring it to the forefront for me to read, because I'm legally blind. I'm not able to read everything, but I do have people that know that, and they research papers and scan almost every article that is written about the Pope and some of the things that he said and done. And it's a sewer of corruption, as Luther said. And it's just too deep. It's vast. I mean, there are literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of books that are written of the atrocities of the Vatican. And say, well, maybe things will be better, some people say, now that he's dead. Hi-ho, the Mario, the wicked Pope is dead. They've all been wicked, every single one of them. They say, to hell with the U.S. Constitution. That's why... you know, there are people in court up in Denver and all over the country that are saying that, they said, well, God, the Word of God, says, don't you mention God in my courtroom. All this is coming from Rome. Don't you dare mention God in my courtroom, or I'll get you for contempt of court. I'll have you thrown in jail immediately if I hear you mention God one more time. This is what's happening all over the world right now, and right here in the United States of America. And this comes from the Vatican. So, well, I've never read anything like that. Well, you're just not conscious, my dear. You're not even semi-conscious. Wake up. It's later than you think. The Antichrist system has taken over the entire earth, with the exception of those of us that know the Lord. Well, her church never teaches anything with that. What, she goes to the Methodist church? Or I've got people I'm asking that actually take lessons from her. And they just don't know, but she said it on several occasions that she's the choir director at some big church in Fort Smith. I mean, in Texarkana. And she's the music director there as well. Do you know?
I think she said Methodist.
The Methodist Church, right. Well, just the Methodist is part of the Catholic Church, and that's why she said, bless his heart. I'm not going to, God was not going to bless his heart. That man went right out into eternity, according to the Word of God. Of course, if you don't, I mean, if you believe that the Word of God is true, that God's Word is true, then you have to believe that the man went to hell. And if you don't believe that, well, then you don't believe the Word of God. You're not saved. Because the Word of God is Christ, and the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. And if you doubt it, thou shalt be damned. You think that the Pope that has done all these horrible atrocities is, if he gets in, well, then the devil got in to heaven. But the Bible says that Satan and all those that follow him and were used by him to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
So if you don't believe that, well, then what are you doing in a church? Go out there and keep raising hell out in the world, but not in churches, man, because you're going to get double jeopardy by being in a church, saying you're a Christian, and disbelieving the Word of God, and showing everybody that you're a person that says you're a Christian and don't do what the Lord says, and you don't believe what he says. You're not going to get in. Those that believe shall be saved, those that doubt shall be damned. Oh, I could go on forever with this sort of talk, because it's true. But we are on chapter 16 of 2 Samuel, so on the commentary now, so let's continue.
Absalom rejected his father's love, and ultimately God's love.
And that's what the Pope did. He, God is the father of everybody, amen?
Amen.
And some people say, no, Adam was. Well, God created Adam, and Adam created, is the father of all dead humanity. And then Christ came into the world, and he is now the Savior of all people, that only those who believe in him and receive everything that he says. If you sin, if you degrade the gospel, if you degrade the Word of God, if you don't do what the Lord says, and you say you're a Christian, whether you say you're a Christian or not, you're going to hell in the lake of fire. That's why it's so important to read the Word and believe it. I could tell this woman never read the Word of God in her life. And she was shocked when I just said a few simple things that I say to people every day. Well, I thought she's going to fall right off the piano bench. Okay, and it was just a simple little few statements that I said. Well, I never heard that before. I never heard him say that. I said, well, are you always present when the Pope speaks? I don't think so. Okay, then what?
How often do you miss entering back into God's love through the door of forgiveness? Absalom's strength and weaknesses.
Yeah, but the Bible of the New Testament tells us there comes a time in some people's lives that were Christians before that there remains no more forgiveness for them. They go too far. When you go too far, you've gone too far. No matter how hard you try to get back, it's like Esau. Even in the Old Testament, when he didn't have the power of God, God said, Esau, I hate. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. I hate. So there comes a time, especially in the New Testament, when people don't do what the Lord says, and they have the power of God and the truth, and they don't do it. Just think how much more God hates you. And then you think, the devil always tells you, well, you know, God is a forgiving God. Not always. He doesn't say that in his word. That's you suppose that he is. You suppose. You have suppositions, opinions, ideas, philosophies. The newspaper said that the Pope taught philosophy. Why would a man of God teach philosophy when he has the Word of God to teach? Amen?
Amen.
He's a professor of philosophy and political science. A person that is of the Lord entangleth not themselves. They do not entangle themselves with the affairs of this world. But this is the Pope entangled himself with all the affairs of the whole world system. Is that the Lord?
No.
That's totally contrary from the Word of God. And this is what the whole cult, the Vatican cult, the Roman Catholic cult does. They're all into like politics and worldly things. Did Jesus teach political science? Did he teach philosophy? Aren't we to be like him?
Yes.
Then we don't teach philosophy. We don't become professors of philosophy. Yes, ahem, ahem. And we don't teach antichristism, the exact opposite of Christ, the Word of God. All right, hopefully. And he teaches evolution. That is more than a supposition. He says, evolution is much more than a supposition. And he says that he's the Holy Father. I wonder when his wicked spirit went out of his deformed little body, if he stood before the Lord, his spirit, and says, God, I am the Holy Father. Do you think that he had that kind of audaciousness?
No.
To tell God that he, this little squirt, is the Holy Father? If he were the Holy Father, then why did he die? Amen?
Amen.
I'm not the Holy Father, and you are not either. You know, we all have to die. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we could go on all day and all night. I keep saying that. Come on, let's keep going.
Absalom's strength and accomplishments. One, was handsome and charismatic like his father David.
Amen. But that was not something that he accomplished. Amen?
Amen.
That was his daddy. His genes, his daddy's genes that did that for him. Amen?
Amen. His weaknesses and mistakes or sins. One, avenged the rape of his sister Tamar by killing his half-brother Amnon. Two, plotted against his father to take away the throne. Three, consistently listened to the wrong advice. The lessons to learn from his life.
Yeah, everybody has advice, opinions, ideas, philosophies, but we have the Word of God. You're not to listen to people's ideas or opinions or philosophies. You're to, or advices, amen?
Amen.
You're to read the Word of God and do what he says without asking advice. Yes. Uh-huh. Read it and you'll see. Then what?
One, the sins of parents are often repeated and amplified in the children. Two, a smart man gets a lot of advice. A wise man evaluates the advice he gets. Three,
a smarter man receives only what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if I'm going to fly an airplane, I'm going to ask the advice of a person that has flown airplanes before for many years. That you can do. You can do that sort of thing. Or if you want your refrigerator fixed or your lights, or you don't know anything about electricity, it's all right. But about the rules of life, I'm not going to ask anybody. Should I go into my father's wives? And I ask somebody that? When the Word of God says, no. Well, should I steal when the Bible tells me, no, you shall not steal? Should I commit adultery or fornication? Why should I have to ask some human that question when the Bible already teaches me, no? Should Should a person become a lesbian or a homosexual? Is it permissible? Even situational homosexuality or lesbianism? I mean by situation, if you're in a situation where you're in prison, is it all right to be a lesbian or a homosexual? What does the Bible say?
No.
No! So you don't ask advice for things like that, amen?
Amen.
Of humans. You go to the Word of God. When the Bible says that all those that do such things shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. Why would you do it? All right, then what?
Three, actions against God's plans will fail sooner or later. Vital statistics. One, where was this all happening? In Hebron. Two, occupation, prince. Three, relatives. Father David, mother Maacah, brothers Amnon, Chileab, Solomon, and many others, sister Tamar. Contemporaries, Nathan, Jonadab, Joab, Ahithophel, Hushai. Key verse, quote, Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom is king in Hebron. 2 Samuel 15:10. Absalom's story is told in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3, and chapters 13 through 19.
All right, now that was 2 Samuel chapter 16, 23 verses, translation and commentary. And now we have Receiving the Discipline of the Holy Spirit, part 4. And I've already done part 5 for tomorrow. All right, let's begin.
Breaking or tearing a person down.
Okay, this is what has to happen to every person that will enter the kingdom of heaven. They have to be broken by the cross or torn to pieces by the cross. In other words, the spirit. And you have to, we have to all become dead, mortified by the spirit of our own selves and deeds. Now, this is one of the things that is so repugnant to the people that are going to be in hell, is they believe, I'm my own person, I'll commit murder, abortion, I'll commit adultery if I want, I'll do what I want, just let me get this perfectly clear with you, I'll do whatever I want. These are people that are not and do not want to receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit, and they are the most hated people of God on the face of this planet, or anywhere in the universe. All right, so continue.
The third purpose of the discipline of the Holy Spirit is the tearing down, smashing, or breaking us.
Or terminating us, because smashing and breaking is not good enough. The word termination, or mortification, or death of the old you. You have to be dead, because God wants you completely gone so that he, by his spirit in and through you, can do his work in and through you so that it'll be the work of God. So the purpose is to kill you, to mortify you, to terminate you, put an end to you, and to put an end to me as well, so that God can do something in your body, your mortal body. Then what?
I have repeatedly said that the work of God in us is for the central purpose of mingling himself and building himself, or the very element of God, into us.
Yes, he wants to rub himself, work himself into us. Okay, just like I remember when I was doing a workout on a farm that I was delegated one day to sugar cure some bacon, big old slabs of bacon. If you were to taste bacon without it being sugar cured, well, you'd spit it out, because all it is just like hog fat with a little strips of meat in there. Now they have beef bacon, and that's plenty of fat in there, but it still is sugar cured, and turkey bacon. So the thing that makes it taste like what you think bacon tastes like is the sugar cure. It's not the bacon itself. If you tasted beef or the turkey, you'd spit it out. So there are these great big square cans back in the days when I was doing this. They're about 5 gallon cans of sugar cure. It looks like orangish type of stuff, powder that you throw on the floor to sweep it. You pour that into a big washer tub, that's what I had to do, and then rub that sugar cure into the bacon and hams. And then it got smoked after that. And that's what makes it. You just keep rubbing it and rubbing it, rubbing it and working it in to the bacon and the ham, which I don't eat anymore because I see in the Word of God that it's an abomination. It's not food. It's a scavenger to clean up the earth. So anyway, that's what God wants to do to you. He wants you to work himself into you to where you're savory. You're not something that he wants to spit out of his mouth, or something that people despise, or he despises. He wants you to be cured of yourself. He wants you mortified. He wants you to taste different. Amen?
Amen.
Because he wants us to be the salt of the earth, not something that is blah, blah, or that you spit out. Okay? There's too many limp-wristed, non-achievers, non-spiritual people in the world that have no desire at all to do anything that God says. They just think that they can work themselves into the kingdom of heaven by doing what they deem right, or by some work of like baking, cooking, washing dishes, answering a phone, typing, doing books, records, receipts, even distributing literature. If you think that any of your works can get you into the kingdom of heaven, even though you say you're doing it for the name of the Lord, and you're doing it for God, how do you know that that's what God wants you to do? Okay? He wants to smash any good thing that you do, or any evil thing that you do. He wants to destroy it, because that's you, good things that you do, evil things that you do. He wants all that smashed. If you have a bad temper, he wants that smashed. If you have a sweet temper, he wants that smashed. Okay? He wants you dead, mortified. Because no matter what you do, it's not the Lord doing it. Amen?
Amen.
If I'm reproving and rebuking people, or doing something to chasten them, it isn't me, it's the Lord in me that's telling me to do it, okay? And that's the way it is with the Apostle Paul. That's the way it was with Jesus. He wasn't rebuking them because of himself. He was just not himself. It was the power of God. The words I speak unto you are not my own, but the Lord, but the Father's. Amen?
Amen.
The things you see me do, I see the Father work, and then I work. Okay, so we have to be hollowed out so that we can make plenty of room for the Lord to live in there and work in there. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
To achieve this goal, we must first be torn down, broken down, eliminated.
Terminated. Okay. You try to toss that around in your feeble brain that has never accomplished anything in this world except arguments. You can't figure out the Word of God. You just have to receive it. Amen?
Amen.
You don't walk by sight, by faith. And you don't mull it over in your mind to figure out, to try to get your mind to think, well, do I want to receive this or not? You either receive it or you're going to hell in the lake of fire, okay? That's just the way it is. Some of you, I wished you would have went to reform school, as I did when I was young, and to jails for distributing the literature, or to the Navy, or to prison that I went to for the gospel, so that you could learn some discipline in the way that people really think. People even in prison don't think the way you do. People in prison, they pull refrigerators out away from the wall. They turn everything. They pull cases, bookcases, and the file cabinets and everything away from the walls and scrub under them every day. In the Navy, when I was there, we pulled everything out of the barracks and we just went over. We took razor blades in the shower and scraped it down to the soap deposits on the floor and everything, to make sure that everything was 4-0, because we were a 4-0 company, Company 869. People can check that. I've been saying that for years. You can check it. You can check to see if I was in there. Bernie Lazar Hoffman. My military number is 5555129. I was in the only meatball company in the Navy, which is a 4-0 perfect company. Not another company like that went through the Navy in 70 years. Okay? So you should have been in there to where you wouldn't think with your big moony cow eyes that you've really done something for God or anybody. You don't even take care of your own house properly, because there's so many men living together. And at one of the barracks, we had to clean that thing, and chief petty officers from every other company on the at USNTC in San Diego would go put white gloves on and put their... scrape it across the top of the ceilings to see if they could get any dust on there, and there was nothing that they could find because we cleaned everything so well. They inspected our clotheslines, but we had to tie everything with a square knot on the mast and send it up. It had to be bleached blue-white. Everything had to be... We scrubbed and scrubbed our hats, and we were out on the desert, Camp Elliott. And then also the United States Naval Training Center, USNTC in San Diego. And everything had to be right. Then they'd fire machine guns right over our heads, 18 inches off the ground. And they said, don't panic, because if you stand up, you're going to be killed. You better hug that ground. Then they threw us inside of a, with gas masks on, inside of a burning building with oil, where the fumes were so toxic that if you breathe them in, you'd die. You couldn't panic, and we had to jump off ships, tall ships, into the water. And there's a certain way to do that. And learn all sorts of things, how to handle a machine gun, an M1 rifle, a carbine, and a 45. 45 Thompson automatic submachine guns. We had to learn all those kind of things in there. And if you made one mistake, Chief Petty Officer C Corps would have you put in 909 Baker or 909 Charlie. And we did it. We went through that. And that was one of the proudest things that I've ever been through in my life, because I was only 16 years old and I made it. And there was half of that company that was kicked out into 909 Baker and 909 Charlie, which were they called them the nut companies. And you'd go over there and they were just sitting around playing a guitar and just enjoying their life, but they were in the nut, and they were always labeled nut factory throughout their whole life. I didn't want that. I want people to respect me, and that's why I want to do everything the Lord says. And because of that, I guess I get the best mail that I've ever heard in my life. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's important to me to hold a good reputation. Even at 16 years old. And all my life, even when I was younger, way younger than that, I wanted to do a good job for everybody, because I wanted a good people to think, not because I was trying to impress people, but I just wanted people to trust me and to believe in the things that I would do a good job for them if I ever went to work for them. Because I realized that eventually, one of these days, I want to get married and have kids, and I want to be able to support them. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to do things in a manner where people would respect us.